Greetings, kindred witches, curious listeners, and new practitioners to the craft. Welcome to Atomic Witchcraft. Here, I share my experience as I build a modern-day, inclusive witchcraft practice rooted in nature's seasons, the celestial cycles, and the science of energy. Join me as we build a practice that learns from our past, is rooted in our present, and works towards building a better future, all while connecting deeply to the earth and sky around us. Let us begin a new era of witchcraft. This podcast is recorded on the homeland of the Duwamish people, and more broadly, the Coast Salish people, as well as many other indigenous tribes that make their home here in the Pacific Northwest, past, present, and future. As a spiritual being and steward of this land that I call home, I feel honored with the responsibility of caring for this piece of our planet. The Atomic Witchcraft team participates in Real Rent Duwamish as a way to compensate for the land that was stolen through violence and broken land treaties. I encourage you to look into and participate in Real Rent programs that support indigenous communities in your area. Please take a moment to join me in honoring the original stewards of the land on which you are residing, and a moment of gratitude for the earth itself and the bounty it provides. Please join me in words that work for you. To the ancestors that hold this ground, and for those spirits yet to come, may you fill me with guidance as I learn my place as a steward of this land and its creatures. In the gift of this role, I hold gratitude for all that surrounds me, for the water which cleanses me, for the earth's fruit which nourishes me, for the air that breathes life, for the fire that warms as it burns, and for the divine cosmos within. I am a child of the universe, at one with the trees and the stars. May the tides of the moon fill me with silver and the sunbeams tint me in gold. From light to dark, from birth to death, spring to winter, new moon to full, and back again. It is a beautiful world, one worth protecting. This I will, as within, so without, as above, so below, as I am, so mote it be. Good moon, witches, and welcome to our hearth. New moon in the seasons of growth and decay. Here we lean into those energies for our moment of rest and pause. I heard a great defining line the other day, one that lies between self-soothing and self-care. This gave me a good pause. How many of my self-care practices are actually more self-soothing by nature? Think the difference between taking a hot bath and drinking enough water throughout the day. Both are relationships with the water element, but one definitely leans more into self-soothing than self-care. The book I was reading defined self-care as the small actions we take that help us fulfill our long-term goals and dreams. Self-care forces us to put ourselves first, not just for soothing what ails us, but for growth and deeper health care. This offers a lens of self-care that mimics our moon phases, creating habits that lead to growth, harvesting those lessons, and then reflection and correction before doing, yes, a little self-soothing before we're back at it. With that in mind, this moon cycle, whether under a growing or harvest season, is a great time to attune your self-care cycle. What habit could you put into play? If you're headed into spring, this might be a habit of growth. For those starting to feel the bite of winter, this might lean instead towards habits of rest or clearing in preparation for the hibernation of winter. Consider and nurture this habit through the first quarter moon, with the full moon seeing it in full swing. Then, as the lunar tides begin to wane, don't stop the habit, but do take a moment to reflect. What's working? What could be adjusted? Then the wheel begins again, and we too have the ability to start anew. Lunar tides be with you. Go placidly amid the noise and the haste, and remember what peace there may be in silence. You may remember this line from a recent Sunday Haven about the stillness of witch. However, Desiderata doesn't stop there. It continues by offering us this wisdom. As far as possible, without surrender. Be on good terms with all persons. Speak your truth, quietly and clearly, and listen to others, even to the dull and the ignorant. They too have their story. Avoid loud and aggressive persons, for they are vexations to the spirit. Those lines offer us some great wisdom as we head into the holiday season. Ah, yes, the holidays. A tricky time of year for witches, a time when we are inclined to celebrate and come together with community, to celebrate our traditions, only to often feel overwritten or ignored in the scope of the bigger narrative. It's a time when we may feel we have to justify our choices or are sometimes even called out by others to speak on them, and that may or may not be a place of comfort. Feeling like the odd duck out or not wanting to participate, or maybe even being pushed to participate when all you want to do is sit at home with a hot cup of tea and hibernate. Lots of feels to be had. Which is why I love how the above lines from Desiderata speak to our abilities to hold and create space, to listen and be heard, and to know when it's time to step back and self-preservation. I thought this haven might be a good time to address some of the situations a witch might find themselves in as we roll through the holiday season, largely dominated by holidays that are a bit out of step with and often appropriate from what witches and many pagans celebrate. Now, of course, everyone's experience will be different here, so, you know, take what works and leave the rest. All I can speak from is my experience, which is, of course, limited to my family and my encounters, which goes to say that everyone's situation is highly individualized. However, in sharing, we learn options or tactics that we might adapt and apply to our own practices. So I hope you find something useful here. I remember when I first started as a practicing witch, and at that time, a Wiccan, there was a lot of ignoring and downright mockery of my traditions during the holidays by my family, and I was never sure which felt worse. But now, 25 years later, there is actually some level of acceptance from my parents, even if they still don't fully understand my traditions and practices, or even really want to. That works out okay for me. I have learned to lean into the parts of those holidays and traditions that they enjoy, but that also speak to the witch within. The twinkle lights, the hot beverages, warm pies, gathering around a glowing fire, and sharing of stories. And then, when I have moments to myself, or now that I have my own place to call home, I'm able to build out those traditions a bit more. Where you are at in your journey is likely to shift and change over time, so even if you have to start small, don't be discouraged. Find ways to celebrate the holiday season through the lens of witch. Throughout this time, many of us will be asked to attend very traditional celebrations, ones that often leave us feeling a bit, well, out of step, and at the worst of times, deeply unaccepted. Especially as those around us reinforce stereotypes and harmful relations that we may be working hard to break down, even within our own spiritual practices and communities. You may even feel or be obligated to participate in bigger religious events that you don't feel connected to, and family gatherings that may be actually oppressive to who you are or working to become. In those moments, I work to be present with witch, to take what I can from those encounters and communities and leave the rest. And in those occasions where I'm being asked to participate in religious beliefs or traditions outside of my own, I put on the perspective of a curious and respectful guest, allowing witch to explore that community's traditions and stories through the lens of an outsider. And yes, sometimes that means I have some good internal chuckles or eye rolls, but I keep those internal. Respect is key here, especially if there's hope of them respecting your rituals. I fully acknowledge that this may not feel comfortable for everyone. Being asked to participate in religious traditions that have previously caused harm can be deeply damaging. Again, please find ways to lean into self-preservation and opt out as possible. However, if it is more about feeling uncomfortable in those situations, approaching from the lens of a curious guest might help transition and soften the experience a bit. This season is filled with both joy and laughter and tough conversations as families and communities come together. I really encourage leaning into the hard conversations as well as keeping a keen eye to self-preservation. Safety is key in spaces where hatred and bigotry run rampant. This means you don't have to be an advocate if you don't feel safe or comfortable doing so. I am pretty sure no world-changing events occurred when I convinced my uncle to be a little bit more open-minded while sharing pie at the holiday table. Maybe unless uncle was the head of the United Nations. And yes, you can even enjoy those mashed potatoes even if the cousin you're rubbing elbows with disagrees with land-back programs. As you eat, be present with your food, the nutrients. Connect with the moment, with the community, and the stories we share. And even then, in these moments, it is also about self-preservation. If things get heated, I like to find polite and easy ways to escape, even if for just small moments. Offering to grab everyone a beverage, or take the dog for a walk, or play with your cousins. Whatever gives a moment to reconnect with myself, with which. And, you know, maybe also reinforce some of my energy shields. It is here that we come back again to those lines from Desiderata. As far as possible, without surrender, be on good terms with all persons. Speak your truth, quietly and clearly, and listen to others, even the dull and the ignorant. They too have their stories. Avoid loud and aggressive persons. They are vexations to the spirit. So without surrendering who we are, we learn to be on good terms with all persons, to speak our truth quietly and clearly, and listen to others, even those we find boring or ignorant. They too have their story. So listen for it. What aren't they saying? What story do they hold, and what can we learn from it? I mean, which loves a good story? This all adds up to mean, yes, find a way to hold your witchy ground, but do so in a way that adds to the conversation and community, not one that harms or divides. It's about listening just as much as it is about sharing our truth. And lastly, in an act of self-preservation, avoid loud and aggressive persons. They are indeed vexations to the spirit. Next week, we in America really launch into the holiday season with the annual American Thanksgiving. Now, as someone who advocates for land back movements, the focus of this day has shifted over time to build a bridge between childhood traditions and an acknowledgement of the rewrite of history, both then and now. At its origins, this particular holiday celebrated and glorified a relationship and dynamic that we now term settler colonialism, and with it, mass genocide. Knowing that, it is hard to sit down to turkey and cranberry to celebrate. I admit this bridge has been the hardest to build for me. Now, the day has become a gathering of friends and family to be grateful for the privileges and good luck we carried this past wheel turn, as well as a time to sit in observance of the cost of those privileges. And yes, on the flip side, I still watch the Macy's Day Parade and dog show, traditions that go back to my childhood love of Broadway and puppies. When it's time to sit down to a big meal, I encourage everyone to take a moment to share what they are grateful for from the year. Alyssa mentioned that she will often use this as a moment for a land acknowledgement, a great way to both strike balance and start conversation. Whether you choose to bring this conversation to your gathering is up to you, and should be greatly dependent on how safe you feel within that space. The safer you feel, the more I encourage you to course correct your traditions for that day. Yes, you can still have shame-free mashed potatoes and acknowledge the false origins of this holiday. It comes down to being present and grateful in the moment for that which we have, and doing what we can to continue to move forward in right relationships. As a country, we have even begun to acknowledge this course correction as the next day we honor and celebrate Native American Heritage Day, a time to dig into local history, tribal initiatives, and land back programs. A day to truly celebrate the culture and knowledge that Indigenous communities continue to bring to the way that we live. Now, I know that many people look at the Friday after Thanksgiving as a kickoff to Christmas, complete with holiday shopping and tree decorating. But if you are able, consider taking time to visit a local Indigenous museum or purchase gifts from local Indigenous artists. Build the bridge, change the narrative, redirect the story. As December moves into full swing and appropriated pagan traditions abound, it can often feel difficult to make space for witch. When I first began my endeavor towards a full winter solstice and Yule celebration, it came in spurts. Capturing the solstice, and then, you know, stepping into the cadence of a more typical Christmas calendar. Then, as time has gone on, I have found ways to bridge the two. At first, it started with finding ways to imbue a little witch into the nights between Christmas and New Year's. And then, as time allowed, I started to tie in the time between the winter solstice and the Christmas Eve. Now, these 13 nights that tie the winter solstice to the New Year mark what I call candle nights, and many pagans refer to as Yule. These candle nights are often filled with a mix of traditions, from gift-giving to gathering for food and community. Even sticking with the tradition of a mysterious bearded gift-giver with a penchant for chocolate chip cookies. And in fact, this might include attending more traditional religious events if that is what my community is choosing to do that year. In recent years, as witch has edged more and more out of the broom closet and I have the luxury of my own space and control over my time, I have challenged myself to lean more fully into the long dark of those days, candle nights, and my own set of traditions for this holiday season, setting aside time to truly hibernate and, well, essentially turn off. This is definitely a big cog in the wheel of the go-go-go holiday urgency that seems to imbue the season from November to January. However, holding ground here to mimic the vibes of a seasonal new moon, one that revels in both self-soothing and self-care, feels truly magical. A time to connect to the stories of witch, the stories of magic, the ones that we have told and heard carrying humanity through many a long dark night. Like all things in witchcraft, the holidays are about balance. It's about reading the room and figuring out how you can either build a bridge or preserve your side of the river, safe and focused on sustainability. The holidays are not the time to wage war on family members, nor are they a time to die on the hill of appropriated pagan holidays. Enjoy that they're partaking in one of your holiday traditions, and well, if they want to use an angel topper on the tree, see if you can talk them into a star instead. This time of year, like every time of year, is also a good reminder of the thousands of people in America and millions around the world without enough to eat each night, many of which are children and teenagers. As you fill your grocery bags for your holiday gatherings this year, consider filling a bag for your local food bank. If you can't afford to offer food, a helping hand is always appreciated. Until next time, witch be with you.
Alyssa again with Witch in Action, in which I share some tips on ways that you can integrate mindful living into your practice and how to make a positive impact on the world around you. Now, the suggestions I make may not suit everybody or every body. I acknowledge that everyone has their journey, and sometimes certain things may not suit that journey. It's not about perfection. It's about doing just a little bit better and allowing grace for those who are unable to. Typically in this segment, I addressed environmentalism or sustainable living, but I'd love to address how we as witches can have a positive social impact. As we enter the colder months, or as we call it in the Pacific Northwest, the long dark, there is a need to come together in community. Images of gathering around a fireplace or a table laden with a delicious meal tend to be in the forefront. But what about the members of our communities that don't have many resources or are struggling? How do we make sure that they are also cared for during this season? One way you can practice community mindfulness this time of year is through charitable giving and volunteer work. Food banks, shelters, and soup kitchens are always short on supplies and funds, but even more so during the colder months. I recommend researching what organizations are in your local area, making sure they align with your personal values, and reaching out to see what items are needed most. For food banks and soup kitchens, that's of course going to be nutritionally dense foods that have a longer shelf life or meal prep and distribution supplies. For shelters, they typically need bedding, clothes, hygiene products, toys for kids, you name it. You can choose to collect and donate these items on your own, or take it a step further and get your community involved. You can host fundraisers on behalf of these nonprofits or drives where you collect lots of food and supplies to donate all at once. Reach out to your friends, family, coworkers, neighbors, and even local businesses and get them to participate. Or, even better, round up a group and spend an afternoon volunteering. The more we can come together in community, the stronger we all are. In addition to actions you can take on a personal level for your community, it is also important to consider the bigger picture. The month of November in the United States is a time of elections on local, state, and federal levels. Heck, we just went through a round of elections a few weeks ago. Getting out there, researching candidates and propositions, and voting in line with your values is important and has an impact, even if sometimes it feels like it doesn't matter. Voting in ways that support your local shelters, public schools, social programs can make all the difference to those that rely on them. You can go the extra mile and call your local representatives or volunteer to canvass for a cause you deeply believe in. Social change is possible if society works to make it so. In what ways do you like to make a positive impact on your community?
Hey, kindred witches, thank you for bringing your magic to this grove and gathering here at the Atomic Hearth for today's Sunday Haven.
We look forward to coming together for our next Sunday Haven, currently planned for Sunday, November 26th, during the full moon. As always, what makes Atomic Witchcraft thrive is all of you. So please join us again, engage us with your questions and thoughts anytime, and consider tossing a coin to your witches if you're able. The QR code here takes you to our Patreon. Up next is our Grove Community Time and Crafting. Stay if you want, leave if you need. We'd love to have you.
As we wrap today, the team at Atomic Witchcraft thanks you for listening. We are looking forward to exploring this new path with you and would love to connect via social media or Patreon. Linktree is in the bios. Access is always free, and we work to harbor a safe hearth for all. As above, so below. As within, so without. As we end, so we begin.